Many people with CLL have found education sessions and support groups helpful. Some of these try to meet the needs of people with all kinds of cancers. Others focus on one type. Some provide information, others emotional support. Some are led by nurses or social workers, others by peers, people just like you with cancer. You're about to listen in on a group very much like those that gather throughout the country. This group includes people with cancer and family members and others in their lives. Some members have been living with CLL for a while. Some are new.
Hello, everyone. I'm Linda, an oncology social worker at the Cancer Center. I've been helping with this group for several years. Tonight, our focus is CLL, how the diagnosis is confirmed and how it's treated. Dr. Griffin, a hematologist-oncologist, is here to help us learn.
Diagnosing CLL is not always simple. Many signs and symptoms are common to other illnesses. They often develop slowly. Sometimes a person has no symptoms and the leukemia is discovered during a routine checkup. Other times, a person may have symptoms such as tiredness, weakness, weight loss, fever, recurring infections, night sweats, shortness of breath, an enlarged spleen, and swollen lymph nodes. Does anyone have any questions? If you have a question, it's likely others have it too. Feel free to ask anything.
I've heard it's related to chromosomes. Can I pass it on to my children?
Chromosomes are related to CLL. But even though chromosomes are altered, CLL is not something you pass on to your children. Some research points to genetic changes in first-degree relatives, parents, brothers and sisters, children of CLL survivors. But whether this increases relatives' risks for developing CLL isn't clear. What causes changes in the chromosomes remains a mystery. Still, studying the genes that make up chromosomes, the genetic markers of each person with CLL, helps with diagnosis and treatment decisions for each individual patient.
Why does it take so long to diagnose CLL? For the longest time, my doctor wasn't sure what was going on.
It can take a long time to get diagnosed. There's a step-by-step process to making the correct diagnosis. After a history and physical, blood tests are needed. The first is most often a complete blood count, the CBC. This measures numbers and types of red and white blood cells and platelets. A person with CLL has higher than normal numbers of lymphocytes or white blood cell count, and may also have low red cell and platelet counts. Other blood tests help determine overall health status, especially heart, liver, and kidney function. Women of childbearing age for whom chemotherapy might be planned will have pregnancy testing. When found, CLL cells are tested to confirm the connection between the high white blood cell count and CLL. Blood testing can also be used to check levels of immunoglobulins, proteins that fight infection, and to look for beta-2 microglobulin, which CLL cells produce. People with CLL often have low levels of immunoglobulins, which contributes to the repeated infections that are common in people with CLL.
If they'd done a bone marrow test sooner, would the other tests have been needed? Would I have been diagnosed sooner?
Bone marrow tests, bone marrow aspiration, and bone marrow biopsy are often not needed for diagnosis. Bone marrow tests are usually done before treatment starts and repeated from time to time to assess the effects of treatment.
I'm scheduled to have a bone marrow aspiration and biopsy next week. Will I need to go to the hospital?
These procedures can be done in your hematologist's office. They're usually done at the same time. Fluid from the bone marrow is removed in the aspiration. Then a tiny core of marrow is removed in the biopsy. Usually, the aspiration and biopsy are taken from the hip bone. A local anesthetic numbs the area because the procedure can be uncomfortable or even painful. Sometimes sedative medications are used. Results from these tests help determine the stage of CLL and devise a treatment plan.